We're going to start with a nice vort on Parshas Bamidbar. But before I do so, I want to mention the campaign that Torah Anytime is running now. I remember last time Torah Anytime made a campaign, I said the same thing, I think. I'm not asking people to help out with Torah Anytime because I'm obligated, or I feel that, you know, I don't have a choice because they give me a platform and it's my way of connecting with people and just that amount of a Hakaras HaTov. There's something that I feel is something that is meaningful to me and meaningful to you. And Torah Anytime really does so much for all of us that I think we all deserve to both feel obligated and indebted. But more than that, this is something we want to promote. It's something we appreciate and something that we want to support and make happen. And I ask whoever it is that benefits from anything that I have to share with Torah Anytime, or anyone else has to share at any time for that matter, you know, to go to the campaign page. If you want to contribute on my page, that's wonderful. I appreciate that. Bring me closer to my goal. And if not, just contributing to anyone's page or any part of the campaign is definitely a very big schus of Limud HaTorah and Zikei Rabim. And I'm sure it will be a tremendous schus for anyone who donates and participates. So with that, I'm going to start with a nice vort on Parshas Bamidbar. The Pusik says, L'mishpachoisim l'vais avoisim b'mispar shaymus. Right in the beginning of the Parsha. The Meloy Omer says that the koyach of Yiddish kinder, the koyach of Bnei Yisrael, is to remain strong with the tahara and the yichus and the kedusha of Kal Yisrael. Even when they were in Mitzrayim, Erva Seuretz, it wasn't easy, but because they were being careful with their identity and they were staying far from being mixed in or influenced by the Mitzrayim, that's how they were able to make sure that they stayed with the kedusha of Kal Yisrael, even when they were in Gulas. See, Taichus b'mispar shaymus, because they stayed with their own names and their own identity, and they, you know, Lashini as Shemam, Levisham, Abisham. That's why they were able to stay with the Mishpachos and Vaisavoisam. Even when Yidden were in Mitzrayim, and even when Yidden didn't yet have the Torah, they understood the importance of staying away from the influence of the Mitzrayim. And even when Yidden were together, you know, the Shiftei Kah, and then later, Yidden was still all the way in the beginning, early stages of Klal Yisrael, they understood that if they want to last at all, they're going to have to be very careful not to be influenced by the surroundings. Today, we have a Torah, and on some level we're maybe, you know, more grounded or more avegestel than they were in Mitzrayim. But on the other hand, sometimes we take it lightly. We don't realize that we're living in Mitzrayim. We don't realize that we're living in different influences. And sometimes the Mitzrayim is not only the Goyish influence, but sometimes it's even inside. There are things that go on around our homes or around our communities or in the streets or sometimes in the homes that we have to protect ourselves from. And many people think or feel that they're immune to different influences, and they don't realize how careful we have to be. So this is definitely something that when it comes to any part of Kedushas Habayis, when it comes to any part of building Yiddish Shtib, Yiddish home, if we're not careful to keep it very, very protected, ourselves and our family and the influence and everything around, then it's inevitable. And sometimes we don't realize how things creep in, how different things take effect before it's too late. Rachman Atzlan. So with that, let me read a question. Hi, first of all, I'd like to thank you for your classes on Torah Anytime, which I really enjoy listening to. Okay, thank you. And like I said, please contribute and donate to Torah Anytime and help them out with their Avodas HaKodesh. I have an interesting dilemma, and I would appreciate your insight on this matter. I live in a certain community where we moved not too long ago. Baruch Hashem, I landed a job right away through a friend of my husband who's friends with the boss. Okay. The whole community is very close-knit, and all the men know each other. I work for somebody, and I'm the only employee there. Yichud is not a problem in this case, as there are other people who come and go. But I'm dealing with a pressing issue nonetheless. I'm uncomfortable with the way my husband relates to the situation. It may sound absurd, but he likes to joke around that my boss is my other husband while at work, and other such comments. He knows it bothers me when he speaks this way. My question is, what's the best way to handle such comments, or would it be wise to leave this job? Thank you. Okay. Now, as I always mention, this question came in quite a while back, and when anything is either pressing or relevant, then obviously you want to get real guidance, one-on-one, somebody who knows you, somebody you trust, somebody who's not going to push you off for a few months, and somebody who knows all the details and somebody you can discuss it with. In general, anything significant you want to discuss with a Das Torah, a Rav, or somebody, you know, who could give you the proper hadracha. Relying on a class or relying on somebody reading a question and trying to figure out what the right answer is it's irresponsible when it comes to anything real, let's call it. I also want to mention that although the questions coming in from a woman about how her husband's discussing things, remarks that her husband is making, and issues that she's having at work. Very often, it's the same the other way around, sometimes worse. Sometimes a man saying such a thing, a woman saying such a thing about a man who's working with a woman, and things like that. Okay. Now, let me first start with something that wasn't your question necessarily, and that is just understanding the relationship and the environment of the workplace. At the end of the day, for men maybe more hours, for women maybe sometimes less hours, if it's a full-time job, part-time job, but at the end of the day, people spend most of their day in the workplace. So as much as we belong at home and we're committed at home and that's where our real relationships are, it's definitely something to take very seriously. Where do you spend your day, most of your day, and who do you spend it with, and what goes on over there? I think sometimes people don't realize, you know, how significant, you know, that really is, and what kind of influence and effect it has on a person. Yichud, you mentioned yichud. That's not a problem because there are people coming and going. Now, I'm not a rav, and I don't know if you discuss this with your rav. Sometimes yichud could be an issue even when people come and go. It would depend on a lot of different things. I don't know if the door is open for people to walk in and out, or if people have to ring the bell to walk in and out, and different things like that. So I'm just mentioning that it's not always as simple as you may think it is. I don't know if you know what you're talking about or not. But more than that, yichud is a lot of times the edge of the road already. People think sometimes that yichud, not being meyachid, a man and woman alone, is like we're just making sure that nothing happens. So yichud is just like the bumper, like it's not really the problem itself. It's just there to make sure that nothing bad goes on. So as long as I'm being careful with yichud, then I'm for sure good. It's not that way. Yichud is an iser, and even when somebody has every reason to think that nothing bad could happen, but if you're being meyachid, if a man and woman are being a siyachid, that's a problem of its own. Now, if there's no yichud and it's being taken care of, that's okay. It's not an iser. But you know, there's a story about a rebbe, actually more than one such stories of rebbes who in their old age found themselves in a situation of yichud and they literally ran out of the house before even putting on a jacket or jumped out of the window. You heard stories like this, and the reason was because not that they were afraid that it would lead to anything, chas v'shalom, but because yichud itself is a problem. Yichud itself is a problem. It's not less severe than any other iser. So that's first of all. Just understand what yichud is about. My point, however, is more than that. That taking care of yichud doesn't mean you're good to go. Taking care of yichud means you're not violating the iser of yichud. But there might still be a lot of other things to be careful with. Things that might be inappropriate. Things that might be problematic. As a matter of fact, even just in terms of the iser itself, when a man and woman are winking to each other or calling each other, using each other's names in a way that's affectionate or anything personal, these are problems that people don't realize sometimes. And if you don't discuss it with somebody who could understand the situation well and determine if what's going on is okay, the barometer is not just the yichud issue at all. So that's for sure something to think about. I know a friend of mine who got guidance from his rav that if possible, he had a business, if possible, he should hire his sisters, that they should work for him, if possible, as a secretary or a help, so that he doesn't have a problem interacting on a personal level consistently with a Eishes Ish or a girl or someone that's not a blood relative. So I'm saying it's very important to understand that the what goes on in the workplace is very often more than people think it is, and the inappropriateness happens before people realize what's really going on. So again, I'm not here to give a Musa Shmuz, and I'm not here to say anything about the situation that I have no idea what's really happening there. But it's something that fools people, and it doesn't let them realize what's really happening. I've seen this many times. There's a natural temptation and a natural attraction that people don't realize is happening as you interact with somebody of an opposite gender, and it happens faster than you think. And you don't realize that it's inappropriate or problematic because you're getting used to it. You don't realize what's really underlying a lot of that communication and connection. In general, nobody should trust themselves. The point of yichud is to ensure that we don't find ourselves in such a situation, although that already became an issue of its own, but it's not something that people should trust themselves with, especially when you're talking about family, friends, and going to simchis and different things that sounds like maybe might be happening here as well. I don't know. I was involved in too many sad stories. I remember when I used to hear people talk about, you know, what goes on, you don't know what goes on, people who are on the line, they know. And yeah, by now I've heard this myself quite a few times already, recently as well. What goes on in the workplace, what goes on in work relationships, what goes on especially when it's family, friends. So there's already, you know, the added excuse for why we're close and why we're meeting and why we're going out and interacting. And it's definitely something to be very careful about. Very careful about. I think people either justify or rationalize certain aspects of a relationship without realizing that it's not okay. So I'm just pointing that out. So I don't know if this is why your husband has an issue with what he calls your other husband at work. I have no idea. I'm just telling you that before your husband, you have to make sure that this is okay. You know, that's something that everyone has to take responsibility about themselves, not a question. Sometimes, even when people do feel that they're doing the right thing, the fact that somebody else may suspect that they're not doing the right thing is also something to think about. Whether it's a v'yisem nekiyim thing, where you just have to make sure that you're behaving in a way that's not being ma'orer chashad in any way, or sometimes the fact that somebody is suspecting something, even if you think they're wrong, maybe they're not so wrong. And maybe they're just seeing it from the outside and they're noticing something that you're not noticing, being so subjective. There's a story about the Belzeruv, that they told out on somebody that, you know, they think that he might be selling trifa fleisch. He was a butcher, and they think they caught him. He was selling things that were in kosher. And the Belzeruv called him over, called him in, and he said, what's going on? And right away, he started saying, he knew that Belzeruv was a oyev Yisroel, a liblich mensch, you know, he's probably going to be able to convince him pretty quickly that he's not really guilty. And he told the Belzeruv, they just choshed me. They think I'm selling. It's not really true. It's not true. And Belzeruv right away gave a smile. Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. It's not true. Wow, gewaldig. And he felt all good about himself that he got away with it so easily. And as he's walking out, Belzeruv calls him back. Make sure that nobody has reason to think so. Make sure nobody thinks so. That was it. Make sure nobody thinks so. It's nice to say they think so. It's not true. If they think so, then that's something to think about. So make sure they don't think so. And that's something that I think everyone in such situations have to take into account. If somebody thinks that you're doing something inappropriate, don't get stuck on if you are or aren't. Sometimes it's kedai to take into consideration, why do they think so, and what can you do to make sure they don't think so? And it's not just about making sure they don't think so, it's actually about making sure there's no reason to think so. And this is all something to take very seriously. Men, women, whoever finds themselves in a situation where, you know, it's something to think about. It's definitely something to think about. Would you be comfortable if your husband was listening to your conversations or listening to what's going on in the workplace or reading emails? These are things to think about. Now, let's go over to the marriage issue over here before I even try to answer any questions over here. If your husband is calling your boss, the other husband at the workplace, he's probably feeling threatened. Now, I don't know if he's feeling threatened because of some kind of suspicion that he has or some uneasiness that he's feeling, which you could actually deal with. Instead of getting upset at him for not trusting you, maybe deal with it. Sometimes people pull the card of, oh, so you don't trust me. Maybe he should be more trusting, I don't know. But the fact that you're going to make someone feel bad because you're going to pull the trust card on them doesn't mean you're doing the right thing. So if a husband has reason to think that his wife is doing something wrong or spending money, let's go to a simpler example, spending money irresponsibly, and her whole defense is, oh, so you don't trust me, again, does he have reason to think that the credit card bills are too high, or he doesn't have reason? Don't get stuck on the trust. If he doesn't have reason, then we could discuss, you know, how do we make sure the trust is okay? But I'm saying in cases like this, don't get stuck on the trust issue. But there's another thing over here, which also has to do with the marriage, shalom bias, and that is that your husband might be saying this because he's feeling threatened just because of the relationship, the dedication, or the loyalty that you have to your boss. Could be it has nothing to do with husband, nothing to do with anything intimate or anything too close or anything inappropriate, but just the fact that when your boss calls, you pick up, or when it comes to your boss, you make sure you're always there on time, you don't want to disappoint him. And when it comes to your husband, he might feel a little threatened by the fact that for someone else, you'll do more than you'll do for him. You know, that's also something to take care of. Now, I know that there are work responsibilities, and I know that a lot of people do feel that when it comes to work, I'm obligated, and I'm committed, and I have to prove myself, and there's no leeway, and it's part of the job. I know it, and a lot of times men have the same issue, where women will say, how come for your boss you'll do this, how come for your business you'll do this, not for me. Everything has to be taken into consideration and dealt with responsibly. I'm just saying that if your husband is calling your boss, your other husband, it's something to think about. And some women do have to know how to put down boundaries and only interact with the boss during work hours and not be intimidated if a boss is calling after hours, etc. Again, I have no reason to assume that any of this is relevant to the questioner. It's just something that has to be discussed, and this is a good opportunity to do so. Now, let's deal with the question. The question is, my husband is calling my boss, my other husband at work, and I don't like it, and he knows I don't like it. Now, I don't know how you know that he knows you don't like it, because you didn't tell me if you told it to him, or because he told you that he knows, or because he's just assuming he knows. But in any case, I don't know if he knows. Seems that you do. But it's very important that you make sure he knows. This is the point I'm trying to bring out. That it's very important that he knows that you know that he knows. And that you know that he knows that you know that he knows. The point is that all these kind of things, whether it's the elephant in the room when it comes to the relationship that you have with your boss, or the way you feel about these comments, make sure they're spoken about. It's very important. A lot of times, people are afraid to be assertive and to say, you know, that comment hurt me, please don't say it again. And because they don't know how to say it, it keeps on happening. And they're assuming that you know you're hurting me, and the other person doesn't know that he's hurting you. Or even if he does know, he doesn't know to what extent, he doesn't know if you realize that he's hurting you, etc. And same thing with this relationship. If he has an issue with the relationship, talk about it, bring it up, don't be afraid. It's not always easy, but it's definitely better than dealing with a situation that you know, we're not going to talk about, and then we're just going to say things, and I'm not going to talk about that either, because I don't want to talk about the first thing, so I won't talk about the second thing. And a lot of times that's... And this is true with a lot of different comments that people make in relationships, b'chlal. I hear it all the time. I hear people tell me, for example, my wife, whenever I pick up the phone to my parents, or whenever I go, when we go to them, she'll always give these remarks of, yeah, because for your parents, you'll do whatever you... Because you think they're amazing, I know. And those are hurtful comments, but he doesn't want to say that it's hurtful, because then it will bring up the topic of, well, they really are imposing too much, and they're getting too involved, and they don't have a happy marriage, and they're mixing into our marriage. Talk about it. It's okay if you say, I'm sure you didn't mean anything. I don't like that comment. I don't like that every time we go to them, you tell me that I'll do anything for them. I happen not to think it's true, but if you do think it's true, we could talk about it. I don't like hearing this comment. Or when it comes to children, for example. Somebody was telling me such a comment that his wife will make whenever he's talking to the children. Yeah, I see, because you have an agenda with the kids, because you want them to... She gives these snide remarks and these hurtful comments, and he feels like, oh, it's just easier to ignore, and I'm not going to say anything about it. But it's hurtful. And it happens every so often. And she's doing it for her own reasons why she wants to do it. And same thing is the other way around, where a husband can say to a wife, it's important to say, I'm sure you don't mean anything. This is hurtful. I don't want to hear it. Now, you're not just shutting someone up. You could now offer a discussion. If you feel I have an agenda with the children, or if you feel that I'm too committed to my parents, or I don't have a healthy perspective of what marriage is, or whatever it is, I'm happy to discuss it with you. I don't like hearing these comments every so often. I'd really appreciate it if you'll stop making them. You don't have to threaten. You don't have to get too nasty about it. You could be very polite about it, but it's good to clarify. And when you clarify it, as I mention every week, you want to make sure you're mentioning the fact that you don't think she means anything bad when she's making these comments. You don't think that he's trying to hurt your feelings. You are being clear with the fact that I don't like it. Please stop. Thank you so much. And you can say it more than once. You can say it next time it comes up as well, as long as you're being nice about it. So it's very important. It's not about him. It's not about how not nice the comment is. It's not about, you don't like when I say it about you. I don't appreciate hearing it. It's hurtful. Please stop. It's about me, and you're making sure he doesn't feel guilty, or you don't look down at him for making those comments. And I definitely think that it's fine to be clear about that. And like I said, you're going to offer. I don't like when you call my boss my other husband. It's hurtful. I take it personal. Please stop. If you feel that there's anything about my relationship with him that's inappropriate, or if you don't like that I work for him, or whatever else it is, please let's discuss it. To throw remarks that you're really, you know, covering up something else, and the underlying is what we don't want to discuss, and the remark is something that's not the point, it's not a way to go. In general, people think sometimes that they're accepting something that they're not really accepting. The husband in this situation, for example, might be officially accepting the fact that his wife works for somebody, and she's very loyal to him, or maybe too close with him, for example, but he's not going to say anything about it. But in the name of not saying anything about it, he's throwing these hurtful remarks every so often. So he thinks he's accepting and being a martyr, let's call it. In the meantime, he's not. And same thing the other way around. You have people who are accepting the fact that, oh, my husband makes these remarks, okay, I'm just going to accept it. But you're not accepting it. It's hurtful, and you're not getting over it. Acceptance means when you accept something, you say, okay, this is what it is. I can't do anything about it. I'll live with it. I realize the other person doesn't mean to hurt me, and it's okay. But very often, people think that they're accepting something, and they're really not accepting it. In the meantime, the resentment and the hurt feelings and the frustration, which ends up pouring itself out somewhere else, that's not acceptance. It's not acceptance. I hear often people tell me this, that husband or wife will keep on mentioning what they accepted. You know, like, I already accepted the fact that you're always late. I already accepted it. This is part of life. You didn't accept anything because you're mentioning this so often, and you're hurting your husband's feeling every time he comes home late. So either discuss the coming home late or accept it once and for all. If every time he comes home late, you're going to sound like a martyr and say, okay, this is what it is, I accept it, I'm not going to change you. You know, everyone has their thing in life, and you know, I wish it would be different. Giving these long rants and talking to yourself and making him feel stupid for it, that's not called accepting. So I think that being assertive and putting things on the table in a healthy, calm moment, in a pleasant, non-challenging way, is the best way to go about these comments and about the situation in general. And I think this is very important. Now, at the end of your question, what should you change jobs? I don't know if you should change jobs. I don't think you should change jobs if whatever we discussed up until here made sense. In other words, if the relationship at work and everything going on there is appropriate and you can take care of how your husband feels about it and the way he talks about it, I don't see why you should change jobs. In general, I think I've heard this many times, that that's Torah perspective about changing jobs is that if you need the livelihood and Hashem gave you a source of livelihood, you don't just change jobs unless you have something else in place. If you don't need it, or it's not good, it's toxic or it's dangerous, then of course you change right away. But in general, if it's not bad to stay somewhere, you don't change until you have a better replacement. So that's just a general idea about not throwing things out too quickly just because it's not pleasant. I don't want to hear these comments. Let me just change jobs. That's aside from the fact that if somebody's just saying something you don't like and you're going to change jobs because of it, sometimes it's the wrong thing. You're just giving a wrong message. Like, oh, if you make those comments, I'll just do things differently. Why? Maybe, yeah. If your husband's asking you to nicely and specifically, but just because someone's saying something you don't like, it's not necessarily a reason to, if you shop in a certain grocery because it's closer and easier, and every time you do so, your husband throws a remark like, yeah, you're from the lazy women who like that grocery. That's not necessarily a reason to change groceries. If he's asking you too nicely, or he's telling you there's too much money, or there's a reason to, that's something else. So if it's a dangerous grocery, it's a dangerous neighborhood, but just because someone's saying something you don't like, and now you're going to start changing these accordingly, you might be feeding a problem where you're teaching someone that these kind of remarks that are just hurtful are the way to communicate with me and get me to do things differently. That's just another point that I wanted to throw in. Now, I definitely hear that, like I said, a lot of this is relevant to many people. This woman writing has a husband who's bringing this up, right? Her husband's bringing up that, the husband at work, there's a reason why. But I think that a lot of people definitely have to, even without hearing these comments, even if it has nothing to do with your marriage, is something that you have to take into account. The workplace is a big topic. And the other way around as well, for those who are not in the workplace, but they're hearing remarks that they don't want to hear. This letter just brought together two different ideas, but they're definitely independent one of another and very relevant to many people. So if there's an issue at the workplace or any other place or any family relationship or anything else that's not healthy and not appropriate, it has to be dealt with, regardless of if your husband and wife know about it or care about it. And if your husband and wife are saying something or communicating in a way that you don't like and there's resentment being built, there's no reason not to communicate it about it responsibly and maturely and in a good way. So I just want to sum that up, make sure that it's clear. The workplace issue is an issue of its own. How it affects the marriage and why your spouse might be feeling threatened is something to always take into account. Both know if you're doing the right thing and both know if you could be treating your spouse better or communicating better and making sure that he's not feeling threatened or she's feeling threatened by how you're treating someone else. And then addressing head on anything that's bothering either of you while making sure that you're not challenging anyone about it. And I hope that, B'nai Yisrael, when we do it right and we're makbid, we're careful. Like we see that, B'nai Yisrael and Mitzrayim were careful. They were careful with the influence that was going on in Mitzrayim. They made sure to stay far away from anything that's inappropriate. They made sure to stay the mishpachos from the vayis avoysam, put their families first, and put Yiddishkeit first, and put their dedication and loyalty to Hashem first. And I myself, we could live together. B'hava ach v'shulam v'rayas. And I'll end off again, just mentioning the Torah Anytime campaign, which again, it's personal, something that I have immense appreciation for. I benefit from Torah Anytime, and I listen to Shurim on Torah Anytime, and I have this chi of helping a lot of people through Torah Anytime, and I'm sure that a lot of the listeners feel that way as well. And anything you'll do to help this wonderful cause is certainly going to be a gewaltiges chus.